Good morning, and welcome to Simply People. It's Tuesday, April 23rd. On today's show, Rachel Levis claims Tom Sandoval advised against staying in trauma therapy despite her really dark thoughts, and Adrienne Balin opens up about reconciling with Naturi Naughton. Plus, Maya Rudolph shares why having famous parents didn't boost her comedy career. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply People. We start off with former reality TV star Rachel Levis speaking out about her relationship with Tom Sandoval and how seeking treatment at a mental health facility helped her gain clarity. Levis recently shared a revealing journal entry on her podcast that she wrote during her stay at the Meadows in Arizona. For more on this, we're joined by our correspondent. So what did Levis say about her dynamic with Sandoval?
In the journal entry, Levis compared her relationship with Sandoval to the Harry Potter character, Ginny Weasley, being under the manipulative spell of Tom Riddle. She wrote that Sandoval had her doing things that went against her integrity in order to please him. Levis said Sandoval tried to turn her against her own family, claiming her mom was gaslighting and manipulating her. When Levis told Sandoval she was having dark thoughts and wanted to extend her treatment, he apparently discouraged it, calling the facility a last-ditch effort and accusing her of becoming dependent on it. Sandoval referred to Levis as selfish for wanting to prioritize her mental health.
It sounds like Levis had a major realization about the nature of their relationship. How did her time in treatment impact her perspective?
Levis credits her experience getting intensive trauma therapy and mental health care for helping her see Sandoval's true colors. She said without treatment, she would have remained under his spell. Towards the end of her journaling, Levis recognized a pattern of Sandoval playing the victim and manipulating her to maintain control. She described this particular journal entry as a turning point with pages of undeniable examples of his behavior. Ultimately, Levis expressed gratitude for the opportunity to work on herself and gain this newfound clarity.
Well, it certainly seems like a transformative experience for Levis to identify those toxic relationship dynamics. Thank you for those insights. If you or someone you know is struggling with mental health, you can text STRENGTH to the crisis text line at 741-741 to connect with a certified counselor. In other news, Figma, the startup in the process of being acquired by Adobe for $20 million, is not waiting around for the deal to close. The company just announced it is adding three new generative AI features to its FigJam online whiteboard tool to help users get started and organize projects more easily. For more on this, we're joined now by our Simply Tech correspondent. So tell us, what exactly is Figma doing with AI in FigJam?
David, Figma is leveraging generative AI in a few key ways in FigJam. First, they are using AI to help users create new FigJam boards from scratch. Starting with a blank canvas can be intimidating, so Figma is letting users describe what they want, like a calendar or project timeline, and the AI will generate a template to get them started. They're also applying AI to help organize the digital sticky notes that users post on the boards with ideas and tasks. As boards get crowded, the AI can automatically sort the notes into logical groupings by theme or owner to keep things tidy.
Interesting. It sounds like they're trying to make FigJam easier to use, especially for those who aren't designers. Is that the goal here?
Absolutely. Figma says that surprisingly, 2/3 of FigJam's weekly users are actually not designers. The tool has gained popularity for general visual collaboration across different teams like product, engineering, and marketing. So by adding these AI aids, they're really trying to make FigJam more approachable and useful for this wider audience of users who may not be as comfortable starting with a blank slate. The third AI feature they announced actually summarizes the key points from a full FigJam board, pulling out the main themes from all the sticky notes so you can quickly grasp the takeaways without having to read every single note.
What are some of the challenges or considerations with bringing AI into a tool like this? How is Figma handling issues like inappropriate content?
Figma is using OpenAI as the underlying large language model, but they've customized it to understand FigJam-specific concepts like diagrams and calendars. Importantly, they've also put controls in place to prevent misuse. If a user tries to input a prompt that could lead to harmful or inappropriate content based on Figma's use case guardrails, the system will block it with a warning message. OpenAI also has some of those content moderation capabilities built in at the foundation. But you raise an important point. As AI proliferates through more productivity tools, companies will have to be proactive about implementing ethical and safety constraints.
When will these new AI-powered features be available in FigJam? Is this part of a bigger trend of AI in collaboration tools?
Figma is launching these features in an open beta starting today, so users can begin experimenting with them immediately. I do think this hints at a larger trend we'll see this year of AI being embedded into the collaboration tools we use every day. One survey by 451 Research found that 71% of employees struggle with collaboration in some way. So if AI can help lower the barriers to getting started with a complex tool or organize information overload into digestible summaries, that could go a long way towards improving the productivity of a lot of workers. I expect we'll see many more announcements like this.
Thanks for that fascinating breakdown of Figma's new generative AI capabilities in FigJam. Shifting gears now to entertainment news, Maya Rudolph, the actress and comedian known for her work on Saturday Night Live and in films like Bridesmaids, recently opened up about her famous parents on the Armchair Expert podcast. Rudolph's father is songwriter Richard Rudolph, and her mother was singer Minnie Riperton, best known for her 1974 hit, Lovin' You. Michael, what did Rudolph have to say about growing up with famous parents?
Rudolph explained that despite having well-known parents in the entertainment industry, it did not give her a leg up in her own comedy career. She said they were musicians, they weren't actors. Rudolph was driven to forge her own path, moving to New York with the goal of being on Saturday Night Live. She knew she had to get there on her own merits and talent.
That's an admirable perspective. It would be easy to assume famous parents could open doors. How well known was her mother, Minnie Riperton, at the height of her fame?
Interestingly, Rudolph said that when she was growing up, not all of her friends were aware of who her mother was. This was before the days of MTV, when music stars had less mainstream media exposure. Rudolph felt her mother was special, but not necessarily a household name to her peers. It wasn't until years later, when Rudolph was on SNL herself, that more people made the connection that Riperton was her mother.
Riperton sadly passed away from breast cancer in 1979, when Rudolph was only 6 years old. How did Rudolph handle people wanting to talk about her mother as her own fame grew?
Rudolph admitted that as a child who had lost her mother, she didn't want people to know about it or discuss it with her. When people would find out about her connection to Riperton, there would be an added element of them wanting to talk about her mother, which Rudolph was not comfortable with. Over time, though, it seems Rudolph was able to open up more, telling NPR in 2012, "My mom was music. Music poured out of my mother."
It's powerful to hear how Rudolph was able to build her own successful career in entertainment, independent of her parents' fame, while still honoring her mother's talent and impact, even after a tragic loss at such a young age. Thank you, Michael, for those insights into Maya Rudolph's reflections on her unique family background. Shifting gears to another celebrity story, Paris Hilton is opening up about the special meaning behind her daughter London's name. The celebrity mom of two recently shared family photos for the first time since welcoming London last November. Here with more details is our Simply People correspondent. So what did Paris reveal about how she chose her daughter's name?
Paris explained on her podcast that she has always dreamed of having a daughter named London, as it's one of her favorite cities in the world. She also thinks Paris and London sound cute together as a pair of names. London's middle name, Marilyn, was chosen to honor Paris's grandmother. Paris noted that she loves Marilyn Monroe as well.
Interesting that Paris's son, Phoenix, also has a family name for his middle name, right?
That's right. Phoenix's middle name, Baron, is after Paris's grandfather. So both children's names pay tribute to Paris's grandparents. Paris said it was an honor to name her kids after them, since she loves them so much.
and it sounds like London's birth date of 1111 last year was very meaningful for Paris, too. What's the significance there?
Paris and her husband, Carter Rum, were married on 1111. Her media company is also named 1111 Media, and Paris says she makes a wish every day at 1111. So for her daughter to be born on 1111 felt magical and perfect for her little princess. Even at just 5 months old, Paris says she can see glimpses of London's sweet and serious personality and that she looks just like her aunt Nikki did as a baby.
It certainly seems like a lot of thought and love went into London's name and birth. Paris waited several months before sharing the first public photos of her now family of four. She told People magazine that Phoenix and London mean everything to her, and she feels so lucky to have her beautiful family with the love of her life, Carter. Thanks for that report. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply People. We'll see you back here tomorrow.